Before you listen to today's episode, I'm being featured on Spotify. They want me to curate more content for you all. I've created a playlist of all the Friday Training episodes. Whether it's your first time listening to the Friday Training episodes, or you've heard them all in the past and want to go back and learn more, I've linked this playlist in the description of today's episode. So make sure you go like the playlist and follow me on Spotify. Today's episode is another edition of the Road to Revenues training series. Today's episode is all about how you can bend time to live a longer life. We cover all of the great time hacks and some great advice on 2 extra days of vacation. Tweet me at David Meltzer, your favorite takeaway. Ask me questions live every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And make sure you join my text community, 949-298-2905, or you can always email me direct, david@dmeltzer.com.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Friday and it is training day, and we're going to talk about time management. We're going to make your lives longer. That's what we do by being more productive, more accessible, and more gracious with our time. We're actually extending our existence here with the more that we get done. And time management is essential in that. Remember, leave your questions in the Q&A section. We're going to be going through all of those to answer what you want to know, not just what I want to teach you. So also, the guides, the exercises, my books are all free. So please, if you don't have the notes that you want, go. You can watch the replay. It's featured on Spotify. We have a featured playlist of all the different trainings that we've done, but you can reach out directly, david@dmeltzer.com, to get all the guides, exercises, and my books for free. Okay. And Jake will put those in the notes for everyone, david@dmeltzer.com. Let's get started. So there's 3 keys to time management. And the first key is to understand that there's different types of time. And the 3 types of time that exists are conscious time, that of awareness. That's the man-made construct of time, 24 hours a day, 365 and a quarter days a year. Man-made constructive time exists in your conscious. The second is a subconscious time. And third, your unconscious time. And it's so important to understand the conscious continuum to understand how to maximize time, to utilize time, to not waste the energy of time and the faith that aligns with that energy. So in the man-made construct of time, we really want to determine what we want to do with that time, why we want to do it, and most importantly, to maximize how we are going to get the what done for the why. Understanding that we are going to utilize the relativity of time according to each of these 3 types of time. And in the relativity of time, it has to do with your emotions. So for example, if this training is exceptional, you'll feel as if it just went by in a minute. And if it sucks, you'll feel like it took all day to get done. That's the relativity of time, which is connected to the way you feel about your experience. The better you feel about the experience, the faster time goes by. The harder the experience, the longer time goes by. And that is an exceptional rule to stand by in conscious time, to go ahead and understand subconsciously and unconsciously, where is that feeling coming from? Because we can control what? 2 things. 1, our mindset, which is so important to control when we have conscious time, to make sure that we are focused in on the light, the love, the lessons, that we're enjoying ourselves consistently every day, persistently without quit, in the pursuit of our potential. But we have to maintain that mindset of happiness, of enjoyment, so that time changes its speed. Time goes by quickly, although it's still within the context of the 24 hours that we've been given, because if it goes by quickly, we'll get more and more done during the day with that enjoyment of. And so we need to know that we have to detach ourselves from the emotional outcome, the ending time. If all we're worried about or concerned about is time, I got to get this done by 1 o'clock. I got to get this done by the end of the week. I got to make $1 million by the end of the year. All of these constructs of time consciously creates resistance, voids, shortages and obstacles. It makes it more difficult to get done. And although in perception it lengthens time, what it really lengthens the time of is when we're going to get to the what for our why, and lengthens the how. It makes us statistically unsuccessful in what we're doing. It creates inefficiencies in what we're doing. So we have to understand both the mindset and the heart set, the emotions, how we feel about time consciously. And we will get to utilize in the conscious respect of time, how that works pragmatically. Now, the understanding of time also has to do with a muscle. And I call it the refocus muscle. Some people say that we can duplicate and triple and quadruple the way we utilize our time by multitasking. We can do two things at once, three things at once, four things at once. I am going to dispel that myth for everyone. You can only do one thing at a time. You can only focus in. The human brain can only focus in on one thing at a time. But what you can do and what you can work out and what you can improve upon is refocus. And refocus is a muscle of mine that I work out every day. Of course, everyone knows that I spend a minimum of an hour a day on my health. One of the most important muscles that I work out is my refocusing muscle. Because what happens is if I'm looking here or I'm looking here and I look back, you guys can see that I'm looking in two different cameras, right? Anyway, our brains move so quickly that people can't perceive or identify the refocusing. So when you see someone that looks as if they're doing three or four things at once, what they have mastered, what muscle they have worked out is the refocus muscle, back and forth, boom. It looks as if I'm looking into both cameras, but I'm not, because it goes so quickly. And you actually can work out consciously your refocusing muscle so you can be double, triple, quadruple productive by appearing as if you are multitasking, but actually just working out a refocus muscle that you can only do and focus in on one thing at a time. So you might as well be able to refocus quicker than anyone else. An extraordinary muscle to work out. You must be conscious in order to do so. Now, subconscious time. The second type of time. The subconscious time is a connected time. It's a connective tissue. The subconscious connects the man-made construct of 24 hours of time with infinity and timelessness, with the unconscious, with the quantum. And this connective tissue is so important because it also requires a refocusing muscle. We focus in on the conscious, we refocus in onto the unconscious, and in the subconscious, how do we work that out? How do we utilize our subconscious focus? Well, there's two ways that we do so. One is meditation. Meditation is the active subconscious practice of quieting. The active subconscious practice of quieting. I utilize theta meditation, T-H-E-T-A. And if anybody's interested in quantum healing or theta meditation in order to raise your awareness, raise that vibration and frequency so you can refocus faster. Refocusing faster elevates our awareness. But if you want to do that, go ahead. You can email me. I'll get you all the information, david@dmeltzer.com. But utilizing this connective tissue of the subconscious to take the man-made construct of time, the pragmatic materialization of what we're perceiving, and allow it to start programming our unconscious infinity, our quantum being, our unconscious concept of time. Something that is the most efficient, effective, and statistically successful activity that we have. And in order to do so, we need to use meditation to build that muscle of quieting. The muscle of quieting, which elevates our awareness, allows us to refocus and allows us to extract the emotional incongruencies that exist between the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. We can actually use meditation to create a greater flow, to use it to get rid of the interference, corrosion, corruption between you and that unbelievable source of light, love, and lessons, the unbelievable source of timelessness, infinity, unlimited capacity of abundance. And all of these can be utilized in the conscious world. And the subconscious is key. Now, not only is meditation key to the refocusing muscle, but we have an auto drive subconscious, and it's our sleep. And everybody knows me and sleep, that I have my tomorrow starts today always with sleep. My tomorrow starts today because the warm up to sleep the warm-up to the eight-hour habit that everybody shares every day is not what you think. It's a warm-up, but it's really an unwinding. And the warm-up to sleep is to unwind, to get yourself back to that quiet place, that baseline of meditation, your higher frequency, your best awareness, actually through quieting, refocusing and building that muscle of refocus from the conscious to the subconscious to the unconscious in a complete continuum that allows you to access everything that you want in a timeless atmosphere with unlimited capacity. And we need to use our sleep in order to effectuate that subconscious connectivity. That subconscious can not only store information that we utilize consistently, persistently in the pursuit of our potential every day through the cellular memory that we have, being consistent and completely pounding the memory that we have in our cellular tissue to program the subconscious, but through sleep as well, we're accessing information that's programmed in the subconscious, and the subconscious is communicating back all of the activity consciously that we have stored by being consistent, persistent in that behavior, by focusing and refocusing in the proper activities that we have under that what, why, and how. So that continuum through the types of time, one, conscious time, two, the connectivity of time through the subconscious, leads through refocusing, meditation and sleep being the vehicles that we utilize in order to effectuate better use of our time, more efficient, effective, and statistically way of using time. But even more importantly, it changes our unconscious time, which sends a beacon or a frequency to what we want. And the key to unconscious time is the relativity of time that there is none. What do I mean by that? In unconscious time, you actually extract time because it's limitless, it's infinity. And where we find faith outside of the pragmatic conscious and subconscious beliefs that we have, actions, words, sayings, all the senses and memory, but outside of all that, our unconscious time is our best illustration of faith. And so what I do to practice, not only the focus and refocus, but to practice faith is to, in my daily decision-making, when I take inventory of my values, my personal, experiential, giving and receiving values, when I extract time in my decision-making process, I actually come to the higher sense of intuitiveness, the higher sense of myself, the higher decision-making capability that is based off of not the man-made construct of it has to be done at this time, it has to be done in this way, but simply it will be done at the right way at the perfect time. And I have faith that this will happen in an abundant way to the greater good, that I have full faith that I don't know what I don't know, but by putting my best effort forth, I will be guided and angled towards something better, a better situation, or make my situation better. That's what faith does. So if I have a decision, and here's the irony of making decisions by extracting time and utilizing your faith, is it is also a practice. I will tell you, looking back, being the Monday morning quarterback that I am in my own life, knowing by being a Monday morning quarterback in my own life that I don't know what I don't know. But by looking back, I can always tell you that the more faithful my decisions are, the better they are. But I can never tell because time's an independent variable in the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious realm that renders me ignorant. Meaning, I may make a decision and not find out for 10, 20, or a lifetime, or maybe 10 lifetimes, how great of a decision that was to do so with faith. 100% of the time when I make decisions based on faith, they end up better than they would have if I made a pragmatic decision based on my reason, intellect, conscious, and subconscious beliefs. I know that's hard to tell because time is such an unlimited and infinity variable, and it's hard. Here's the irony is, as much faith that I have in faith, as much faith as I have extracting time from my decision-making process, every single day I still make decisions based off of the factual subconscious indicators that I utilize, and I say to myself with big decisions, God, I'm too afraid to extract time. I'm too afraid to make this decision on intuition and faith. I'm going to go ahead and pay my mortgage or buy that anyway, or, you know, live in the game or the act that I believe I'm in right now. And even though I know it's probably not for the greater good of myself, utilizing time in its best source in infinity and limitlessness we all make decisions in a blend. A blend of the man-made construct of conscious, a blend of the refocusing focus of the unconscious, utilizing the subconscious as a connective tissue to gather data from the conscious, to speak to or communicate to the unconscious back and forth, back down to the activity that is materialized into the man-made construct again, with the currencies of time and, of course, the currency of money. The man-made construct, the man-made object of energy that's put into the flow to get what you want. All I want you to do within the context of time management is to understand it's a muscle of refocus and focus. It exists between a continuum of three types of time: man-made construct of time, the 24 hours that you've been given in the conscious world, the connective tissue relating in the refocus and focus of connecting the real world, pragmatic world, with the world of infinity and unlimitlessness, and communicating therein back and forth between the conscious and unconscious. Your unconscious being your quantum memory and the frequency, which has the most powerful source of creating the most abundant form of everything for everyone, all the way down to the scarce pragmatic world of the conscious. So remember, three types. If you want any information on that, just, I have exercises, guides. My book describes this as well. You can go ahead, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. So when you take time out of your life, you'll be living more in faith. When the more you put it in, you'll be living in the man-made construct. So how does time work in the conscious world? Because most of us spend very little time unconscious, or at least we don't understand it or know that we are. So I'm going to deal the rest of this training in the conscious realm to help you out with some pragmatic advice. So first, like everything else, time is compound in its interest. Time compounds, meaning 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. If you do something every day, day one, 2 minutes is two to the first. Day two, it's two to the second. Day three, it's two to the third. Day four, it's two to the fourth. Now, if you don't do it on the fifth day, it's two to the zero, which equals one again. So in other words, you got to get out of line, get back and go start over. That's called the zeroing effect. So why do I teach enjoying? Number one, that results in the mindset and heart set of detaching your emotions from an outcome. The consistent, every day, working in the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum to input data into your cellular structure. Persistent without quit, because most people don't get to where they want to be because 99% of them quit before they're 25% of the way there. 1% that continue on quit before they're 99% of the way to 50% of the way there. In other words, only 1% of the 1% enjoy, detached from the outcome, consistent every day without the zeroing effect of X to the zero, the persistent without quitting pursuit of their truth, potential, their unconscious, unlimited infinity that they're looking for. So we need to understand that time itself compounds upon on itself, just like money, just like other man-made constructs. So we are better off lowering the bar and doing things every day than once a week. And if we do them every day, we will receive exponential growth acceleration and receive more rapidly and accurately what we're trying to do. The most efficient way of getting what you want, the statistically successful way of doing it, is to do it every day, and is actually lowering the bar. You don't have to do it long. You just have to do it daily. I created, coming out of law school, the power of 64. When I got out of law school, all I cared about was making money. So I took the job that paid the most money. I took a sales job that had a $250,000 comp plan. And I decided that I was going to get there via math, via the math of productivity, of how I could be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful than the other salespeople to meet my quota so I could buy my mom a house and a car. So I looked at it and I said, on average, which was naive of me, on average, most people are productive 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And they expect me to have $250,000 in my comp plan, 5 days a week, with 8 hours of productivity a day. So to me, I decided it would be much easier if I did 16 hours of productivity, twice as much productivity, but not 5 days a week, 7 days a week. So in order to do that though, I had to what? detach my emotions from the outcome, and redefine the activity I got paid for, not as work, which creates resistance and voids in my life, shortages and obstacles and gatekeepers, but instead, I redefine my activity that I got paid for, 16 hours of productivity, 7 days a week, as activity I got paid for, not work. And so I started to decipher things within the zero effect of compound interest that I was going to be 16 hours of productivity every single day. In order to do so, I would have to learn to love what I did by looking and defining it as activity I got paid for, because I loved getting paid. In fact, my last year in law school, I remember praying to God that if he would just give me enough money to buy my mom a house and a car, and then I added, of course, pay off my law loans, that I would shovel shit with my hands 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. That would have been activity I got paid for, and I've been grateful for it and appreciative of it. But I kept that mindset, detaching my emotions from the outcome and being 16 hours of productivity a day, 7 days a week. And then I decided, gosh, if I could create systems, looking at systems that I did every minute, every hour, every day, every month, every year, if I could create systems, then I could be twice as efficient with my 16 hours, which then would equate mathematically to a 32-hour productive day, 7 days a week. And then I realized, I went back to my hero as a kid, the baseball player Tony Gwynn, who's the last player to come close to batting 400. He batted 394. But he used to sit at the San Diego School of Baseball with Alan Trammell when I was 12 years old, helping the kids in the area while he was studying as a professional what he did. He was studying what he did, attention plus intention for the coincidences that he won. And what he was doing was becoming more statistically successful, even though he may not have had as much talent as any other baseball player in history. More statistically successful by practicing and studying, attention and intention. So I decided that not only would I have 32 hours of productivity, but I would practice. I'd practice in my 8mm little camcorder. I'd practice in the mirror. I'd practice with friends and family so I could statistically be twice as good as everyone else. So my 32 hours of productivity turned into 64 hours of productivity, 7 days a week. That's 8 days of productivity every single day of my life, 7 days a week. That's 56 days of productivity every week. So in 9 months, when I made over $1 million, and according to the company, blew out the comp plan. And by the way, they rewarded me by blowing out the comp plan, by changing my comp plan. So I had to sell more to make less, which I always loved in the scarce world of sales and quotas and comp plans. But moreover, what I loved about it was I had the last laugh. I had the last laugh with the power of 64, because the truth was they were paying me for 9 months and I had activity I got paid for 10 years. I bent time through the subconscious and unconscious continuum through using the compound interest of time, detaching my emotions from the outcome and focusing in on the efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success of what I was doing. They gave me all types of rewards and paid me through their teeth because I had activity I got paid for 10 years and 9 months. Like I said, you can imagine I've been doing this since I was 24 years old. In productivity years, I really wonder how old I am, how much activity I've got paid for. I'm probably one of the most underpaid. I probably don't even hit minimum wage. I just beat people with math with the power of 64. If you want to learn about that, totally connected to goodness, just request that book from me, david@dmeltzer.com. Be happy to sign it, send it, email it, whatever you want, audio it to you. Now, in the efficiency, there's one more pragmatic trick that I love, and that's the 4-minute search. The 4-minute search to me started when I started realizing that every morning, every single morning, I brushed my teeth, flossed my teeth, and drank some Listerine. But I realized that in the morning, I would forget what side of my mouth I started on, and I was very inefficient in how I brushed my teeth, flossed my teeth. You may have activity, especially in the morning, that you do, and you lose track of time because we're not focusing and refocusing and practicing that muscle that we talk about. We start in the subconscious, not being able to refocus back to the conscious. That was happening to me when I was brushing my teeth. So I decided to put a little bit of clock next to when I did it, and I realized that on average, it helped me get back to center or to focus and started working out that muscle. The clock helps me do that, focus and refocus. But what I realized, it took me on average 6 minutes to brush my teeth, floss my teeth, and take the swig of Listerine. And I said to myself, what if I got hyper-focused and could do it in 2 minutes? I would save 4 minutes a day, 28 minutes a week, 2 hours a month, 24 hours of productivity a year for the rest of my life. That is 3 full days of productivity, all because I shaved off 4 minutes from brushing my teeth. So I started going on the 4 minute search. Everything I could do to save 4 minutes every day, because I knew if I could figure out a way to save 4 minutes a day, as many days as I could, it would turn into 3 full productive days a year. And over 10 years, that's 30 productive days, an entire month of productivity I could have, not counting all the other things I did. So go on a 4 minute search, find 3 extra days to go on vacation to make more money, help more people, have more fun. Whatever you want to do, you can change and bend time through that continuum. Now, finally, most pragmatically, what are the 5 daily practices to time management? Number one, you got to know your priorities. You got to be able to decipher and take inventory of what is most important to you. People get confused on urgency. Roosevelt said, you need to prioritize about what's most important first. If something's important and urgent, of course, do that first. If something's just urgent, go ahead and let someone else do that for you. It's very easy. So you need to take inventory every day of your values in order to figure out what's most important to you. And, you know, I do not like the word busy, by the way. Remember, activity you get paid for, activity you don't get paid for. You are all active. Busy means inaccessible, right? We're looking through a lens of productivity. How much value am I providing? Accessibility. What am I accessing with my time? And gratitude. Am I able to find the light, the love, and the lessons in what I do, no matter what it is? Can you shovel shit 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and feel good about it like Viktor Frankl did in the book, Meaning of Life? I don't know. I can. It's a muscle to me, just like focus and refocus. Number two, take inventory of the access you have to the directions. What do I mean by that? The easiest way to get what you want is to find somebody that's sitting there, someone in the situation that you want to be in, or someone that's in the place that you want to be in, and ask them directions how to get there. It's that simple. And so you need to take inventory of who is where you want to be and ask them for directions. And once again, of course, you know, I'm a big proponent of asking, do you know anyone that has those directions if you can't find the person that does? Multiply and exponentially aggregate your community as well to help with the force of the collective consciousness to increase and expedite your time and time management. The third thing is make sure that you have a time repository. What does that mean? I, of course, use my calendar. I'm a student of my calendar. I pay attention to and give intention to all the coincidences I want in the day, the what, the why, and the how, all aggregated into one. Do it through the lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. I study what I have planned every day. I study what I don't have planned, which most people don't do. I spend more time looking at a blank spot than most people will do all day, spending looking at the list of activities or action items that they have. I'm actually studying nothingness to get to limitlessness and infinity. Study the nothingness that exists within the context of your repository. And then finally, of course, I am studying sleep. Sleep being the continuum that allows me with the connective tissue to take the activities that I have during the day, transcode them into a storage, an intermediate storage, so I can communicate with the higher frequency, the higher self, via my unconscious competencies, characteristics, obsessions, addictions, a beacon and frequency that I'm not even aware of, that unconscious power that I have. And in order to do so, I still maintain the power of 64. And one of the methodologies of utilizing that continuum is to be as efficient as you can with your time that you have planned in the inventory of the repository. So I created a 5-20 rule. Most activity today is either done in a 5-minute increment for me, which would be a phone call, a text, an email. I don't ever allow myself to put an objective of more than 5 minutes. I do have exceptions, but most of my phone calls, my objective is 5 minutes. Anything after 5 minutes on the phone call, for example, is just visiting. I would rather plan in my repository on my calendar for a planned visit than to waste it away without being focused or refocused on what I'm really trying to do within the objectives that I have of the what, why, and how. And then the 20-minute rule says all my interviews and live meetings, face-to-face, et cetera, I have an objective of keeping them to 20 minutes. When I worked for a big company, the one thing that was most frustrating to me was the waste of time, the meetings to have meetings, right? I love that. Let's have a planning meeting about the meeting. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're killing me. Live by the 520 rule. Utilize your time effectively. If you want to have fun, then go ahead and schedule fun. But if you're trying to get a stimulating interest call or a shared vision call or a business call, then go ahead and use those objectives. 520, you will be able to do so much more during the day. I do, at the end of each day, approximately 10 to 25 minute phone calls at the end of each day, at the last hour of the day, and usually get more done than most people do in a month just in that last hour of my day. Number four, practice the present. Practice the present. You got to have routines. You got to have an adaptable routine. You got to make sure that the adaptable routine is based on the inventory of your values. And of course, doing it now, right? 100% of the things you do now get done. The difference between efficient, effective, and statistically successful people and others is they get stuff done. So ask yourself, can I do it now according to my values? And if so, do it. If not, put it into that repository. Evaluate by what's most important first the following day. And then finally, as we finish up, you got to practice not wasting time, right? My perspective always is it's unbelievable how much time we waste. And it, of course, is directly aligned with our egos, right? Trying to have an employment status that's irrelevant, trying to get more of irrelevant materialistic items to impress people that we don't even like, or even worse, spending our time seeking the approvals of others, trying to satisfy what other people want, or even worse, what our ego doesn't want. And when we get it, we're resentful and disappointed. No, practice not wasting time. Imagine if I could save you all the time since the day you were born that you've spent worrying about things that never happen. Imagine that. Every time I start to worry, I start to list out things I can do to get rid of the worry. Instead of wasting my time, emotion, money, and resources on the worry, on the offense, on the resentment, on the anger, on the frustration, on the anxiety, on the separateness, on the inferiority, on the not worthiness, whatever it may be, whenever I feel void, shortages, and obstacles, resistance to that great efficiency of the unconscious competency, the great efficiency that we have in the power of the emotional attachment, the refocus, one of those methodologies is very simple. Stop, drop, and roll. Get out of that. Go list out things that you can do to be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful. Do not dwell and dive into the waste of time. And if you do these three things, know there are three types of time, unconscious, subconscious, and unconscious. Understanding compound interest and, of course, the power of 64 with the 4-minute search. And then finally, having these five daily time management practices of taking the priorities and the access and repository and the present, all not to waste time. I promise you, you too will be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful. You'll be able to practice the muscle of focus and refocus. Others will be amazed by how much you could get done. You will bend time, extend time. You will live a life of millions of years within the pragmatic context of the man-made construct of 24 hours. You will be determined by the experiences you have of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude that you illustrate will show that you know how to utilize your time in order to what? Enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. In other words, be happy. If you want the exercises, guides, my books on this, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Next week's training is Don't Quit. I'm going to go through all the reasons why people quit and how they quit and why not to quit. All the replays of this, if I talk too fast or you want to see it again or share it with a friend, are on Spotify, featured there, featured on Entrepreneur, and every platform. Just go ahead and reach out to me if you want the link to that, to all the replays. If you want any of the exercises, guides, or books for the old trainings, go ahead and reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com. Don't forget, 2-Minute Drill is going to be released next year on Bloomberg TV and Amazon and a bunch of other places. So if you want to try out each episode, we're going to have $50,000 of cash and prizes. We are going to listen to just the pitches and make it happen for you. So go ahead, email me if you want to try out for the show. We are taking applications now. david@dmeltzer.com. Most importantly, it's time for some Q&A. I see them backing up. Let's get going. Thank you, everyone. david@dmeltzer.com if you need anything. Let's start with a personal question from Tanya. David, how was the wedding you officiate? It was amazing. It was a multicultural event, an Indian and Curacaoan, Dominican, Caribbean, and of course, with me officiating, Jewish wedding. And the lessons that I learned from the wedding are applicable to everyone. One is commitment, two is unity, and three is love. And there was more commitment, unity, and love at this wedding than I've seen in all other weddings I've been to. And I was just honored to officiate and be a part of it. And congratulations, Mayor and David. And thank you for including me. It was beautiful. How to stop procrastinating because you don't feel ready yet. You'll never be ready if you don't feel ready. You'll never be ready if you don't feel ready. You have to look at all the physics, metaphysics, quantum physics, all the great Nobel Peace Prize and scientists in the world all will tell you nothing happens until you move. So you'll never be ready. So in other words, lower the bar and get started. Just tell yourself 2 minutes a day. You want a challenge? Say thank you before you go to bed for 30 straight days. If you want to get challenging even more, say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up for 30 straight days. I promise you, your life will change. Don't procrastinate. Do not be sick and high and broke on your mom's couch. Get off the couch and do something. Pick one thing. Pick two things the next day, whenever it takes, but make sure you do it every day, right? We understand the compound interest of time. All procrastination does is zeros out what you want to do. It's the X to the zero that makes you start over. Be consistent and persistent in your behavior, and you will exponentially, more rapidly and accurately get what you want. You will have time as your power source, not as your detriment or resistance. When it comes to facilitating the flow of value beyond the 120 principle, which I use, which means that everything I do has a quantitative guaranteed value that I'm going to provide $100 worth of value and only ask for 20 back and carry that energetically and emotionally as well. What other ways can you add value to others? Ask. The only way to add value to others is ask, what are you doing today? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Would it help you if? Do you got that? Write that down. You can email me. I got a sheet, an exercise on this. And it says, what are you doing today? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Would it help you if blank? If you use that template in order to effectuate value and then quantify it with the 120 rule, you'll have great statistical success. You'll increase the flow. You will also exponentially gain a community and be able to not only be of service or value to them, but also ask them, do you know anyone that could help me with blank? That's the formula. Template it out. Welcome to send it to you at david@dmeltzer.com. It works guaranteed. All right, here we go. I want to work with you. Be as close to you as possible in order to learn as much as possible. I want to work with you. I'm 18 years old from London, and I want to be a millionaire. I want to be over a millionaire and as fast as I can, he said, the next 5 years. I'm trying to teach him not to put resistance into this. I want your guidance. Look, I have free trainings. I have free books. I have free guides. I have exercises all for free. david@dmeltzer.com. I have private groups that you can join. I guarantee their value as well. We meet every single week. You have one-on-one access to me and you have a private group to network in. Reach out, david@dmeltzer.com. I have a specific sales group, private group that you can join as well. And as you get older and can afford it, I have one-on-one business advisory and personal life coaching, one of the top in the world to do so. I have all the help for you. All you have to do is ask, my friend. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Please, anyone, if you want anything for free, if you want to join the private groups, if you want the one-on-one experience with me, they're all guaranteed. All you got to do is reach out. Okay, david@dmeltzer.com. I can give you lots of content and assist you. I can be a part of your team, David. I can work for you. We're always open. We are open. Please help us. Okay. How do you work to be more efficient with common tasks? Look at that, Alkaline 88. Whew, thank you. How do you work to be more efficient in common tasks? So common tasks, I start with the most common tasks. So most common tasks are tasks that I do every minute. Then I go to every hour. Then I go to every day, every week, and every month. And then I look for the 4 minutes within that. I look for systems that allow us or help that will allow me to be efficient, effective, and statistically successful. Those are the three different buckets that allow me to be more successful and be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful in what I do. So I look by what I do the most and then extend it out to what I do the least. And I find those 4 minutes of efficiency or more within the context of what I do by creating systems or asking for help. Create systems or ask for help. I'm going to repeat it one more time. Create systems or ask for help by studying what you do the most often and work your way out from there. What to do if it feels like most of your time is spent serving others instead of focusing on yourself? You need to shift the paradigm of value. This was a huge problem for me because I was successful in my mind and was getting false data from everyone else telling me yes and blowing smoke up my behind, right? Because of all that, I didn't realize that you cannot live your life giving to receive. It's a negotiation, it's a trade, it's a scarce, false pretense of abundance. The true abundance is giving what you have. In order to be truly abundant, you have to have more to give more. And so in other words, I shifted the paradigm of value from giving to receive to focus strictly on receiving with the right intent. And what is that intent? The intent is I receive for everything to come through me for others with appreciation, gratitude, and my values added to it. Gratitude, accountability, forgiveness, all added to it. All my appreciation goes to others. And I got rid of the imposter syndrome. I got rid of my biggest fear, which was receiving. I was worthy, finally, of everything I received. Why? Because I was faithful and true to the fact that everything comes through me for others. And that's what really made me feel good. I got rid of the whole give to receive, trade and negotiation. I simply am a conduit through the greatest source of light, love, and lessons, limitlessness and infinity of abundance of more than enough of everything for everyone that comes through me and clearing the connection for anyone else without any judgments or conditions placed upon it. And you can do the same. I end up sleeping through my meditation when doing it prior to going to bed. Does it still do the work and have the same effect of what we want? What is the best way to do refocus at night so we do not sleep? Well, first of all, sleep is the same as meditation, right? It's a subconscious conduit, a connective tissue between the conscious and unconscious. Part of the reason you're falling to sleep is your practice of quietness is taking over and you're just maximizing that. The difficulty of falling asleep is when we meditate, it's easier to communicate the subconscious learnings into the conscious world. When we sleep, we have a very difficult time understanding what effect we've had on the unconscious. So in order to use the refocus and focus from the subconscious backwards into the conscious world, we can start to use a guided meditation that may allow us to concentrate or refocus in on a conscious voice that will stop us from going deep into the subconscious or unconscious frequency. It's not bad that you're falling asleep. What I would prefer you do is to meditate both at night and utilize it to unwind, to fall asleep, but also in the morning to hide and find, in the morning to find your highest frequency. So utilize meditation like I do. I use Theta Meditation, Theta. Like I said, you can email me, david@dmeltzer.com, to get information on it. But I use it to find my higher frequency or awareness as a baseline for the day. I use it as a baseline so that I can plateau and grow. Most people live the myth of Sisyphus. If you know me, that's most people push a boulder up to the top of the hill every single day just to start over at the bottom of the hill tomorrow. Not me. I use meditation to find my highest frequency. You get one action during the day. My action's at the highest frequency. Just like you focus and refocus, there's one action. Everything else is a reaction to those actions, and then everything beyond that is a reaction to the reaction. So once you realize that, I would use meditation as an unwinding routine to fall asleep and then have a second dose of meditation in the morning to hide my fire, to find my highest frequency and utilize it as an accelerator to move up. So anyway, let's see here. Why do you think man created the idea of time? So it's a man-made construct. What purpose did it serve, and does it serve that purpose? Okay, I'm not sure we could have a deeper question, so I'm going to have to think about this. I believe, and this is just my own personal belief, that man created time to help mitigate fear. The greatest fear that man has is timelessness. The one construct of time allows us to utilize our uncertain existence as a human having a spiritual existence here, an embodiment. And so time gave comfort and mitigate fear when we put time to what we were doing. Because like I said, when you extract time, then you have to live in the world of faith, of complete trust, of abundance. And the ego, when it doesn't know what's going to happen, it gets afraid. And so I believe that time does serve its purpose in order to effectuate the reduction of or mitigation of fear. And utilizing that to your favor through the construct of conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum, utilizing it and understanding how it mitigates fear and utilizing it to maximize and bend it so that you can experience more within the construct of the man-made construct, that's where we really can have some fun and enjoy that consistent, persistent pursuit of our own potential and reach more of our potential than ever thought. Do you have any systems tips for answering emails? Absolutely. And answering messages and answering in person. So I'm consistently trying to create systems of the categories of questions that are asked of me so that I can have either a memorized canned answer or a templated cut and paste answer. I do answer every single thing myself in person, on the phone, via email and media, but I have canned answers that I know will be able to create the efficiencies and still give the input, interest, and value to others. And if it requires more information, I have a bucket that I put it into so that I can prioritize those answers in the bucket, albeit I won't be as quick to respond, but I do respond and am able to take that repository of the more depth of necessity of the requirements of the in-person, on the phone, email, and media requests that I get. So utilizing systems and repositories are the most efficient way and tips that I can give you. If you want further, go ahead, email me. It's something we train in the group. I teach people those systems. I use Outlook, believe it or not, as my main platform of calendar and email and repository, all folder-based, all very efficient. And that then ties into CRMs that utilize all types of efficiencies to aggregate, access, and distribute different content and information to that entire contact or database that I have. I heard you on the Real AF, that's Andy Frisella's podcast, which I love, by the way. What's one thing you learned from that experience? The one thing I learned, because I love that guy, is it just reminded me it's so important to be you. You know, I've been talking about Dr. Pimple Popper because she's so popular and has so many subscribers, and just it just amazes me that you can be that narrow in what you love or what you want to communicate or distribute or amplify or capture and modify and perpetuate. But, you know, there's so many personality traits of Andy that are just him and his brother, Salman. What a great group overall, and his beautiful wife, Emily, and the unbelievable things they're able to manifest. But I think the biggest lesson I learned is learn to love you and you will manifest everything you desire rapidly and accurately. You know, he is someone that, like me, started with nothing. And through that understanding of self, knowing that he can't find outside of himself what he finds inside of himself, he's been able to manifest an extraordinary life, not only materialistically, but emotionally, with unbelievable relationships with his own family and his wife, his friends, and of course, his fans like you. So I want a big shout out for the Real AF, Andy Frisella. If you didn't hear me on there, go ahead, reach out, featured on Spotify. It'll be on my playlist as well. One of the better interviews I've ever done because of Andy. Any travel tips to make the most of your time? Oh yeah, I could write a book on my travel tips. Let me give you my favorite one. First of all, don't check your luggage. Please, don't check your luggage. Go shop at H&M, FedEx shit to yourself. Do not check luggage. That'll be the biggest time suck of travel in the history of travel. Randy, how are you? Good to see you. The famous Randy's on here. Thank you. Anyway, other favorite travel tip. This is one of my best. Use your bed in your hotel room as your desk or platform. So this is also the tip that I'm going to give to everybody about cleaning your room. If you're a college student, I just gave this to my daughter who's a senior. The bed is the perfect platform to organize things. So always make your bed in a hotel and then utilize it as your desk, as your organizer, as your desk, whatever you want to use it as. But when you can use that as the central location of where to find and put and organize things, you are maximizing your statistical success. The biggest time suck, believe it or not, I'm going to give everybody 2 weeks vacation here. I didn't mention this in the time management, but it's one of my favorites. Everybody here want 2 weeks of vacation? I'm not going to make you email me at david@dmeltzer.com to get this one. But what you want to do, did you know that 2 full weeks, 80 hours a year are wasted looking for things? On average, most human beings waste 80 hours a year and most popularly lost keys and phones. So I'm going to give everyone 2 weeks vacation, 2 40-hour weeks. Put your shit in the same place, especially your keys and your phone. Uncle David just gave that to you right there. 2 weeks vacation a year for the rest of your life. I see young Jakey Bakey smiling. He's only 24 years old. That's a lot of weeks vacation I just gave you, brother. Just put the stuff away where you know it's going to be. It takes a couple extra minutes, but it saves you 80 hours a year. Listen to me. Put things in the same place so you can find them. 80 hours a year. 2 weeks vacation from Uncle David. You're welcome for the rest of your life every single month. Here we go. Every single year. Sorry. How do you prioritize your day based on your list of values? I don't list out my values. I take inventory of 4 different values: my personal values, experiential values, giving values, and receiving values. Within the context, I have non-negotiable values, and I have weighted those values each day according to what they are. And then I come up with the calendar. And what I do is don't list them out. I'm always referring to my values and the weighted values that I have when circumstances arise, activity I planned, activity I don't have planned, or my sleep. So I'm evaluating, not listening, listening, evaluating, putting my energy of my values in motion in order to put the correct value to them. And in context, prioritize my activity I get paid for, don't get paid for, my sleep accordingly. So evaluate, put your energy in evaluation system by utilizing your values in order to effectuate the prioritization of what you want to do during the day. Not a list, but evaluation. All right, very good question. You speak about taking vacation every day. How do you decide when the vacation is every day? That's awesome. I don't know how my wife is calling me. This is recorded, so I want the whole world to hear it. I've been training for over 20 years between 11 o'clock and noon Pacific time. And this is the second time my wife has called me during 11 o'clock and noon. So I'm hoping that she's calling me because my IG froze. Maybe that's the case. Maybe Jake can check. But anyway, he hasn't. Oh, that's even worse. All right. Taking vacation every day. I'm going to be divorced when I get home. She's going to be mad. Here we go. Focus, Dave. Refocus. See, I'm practicing. The muscle went away from me here almost an hour into training. How do I decide? Look, 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. So what I determine when I take inventory of my values each day, not being afraid of being a hypocrite, is I decide for that day experiential values. What would be a vacation? Sometimes on the weekend, it's jumping in my wife's 55 Ford Thunderbird, taking it down the 1 freeway on a beautiful day in the ocean. Other times, it's playing flag football outside with my son. Other days, it's just relaxing by my pool. Other days, just reading. But I'm picking every day, utilizing my experiential values, giving, receiving, and personal values, what vacation time I'm spending. And I have a minimum amount of time every day that I spend on vacation. Because 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. I'm not one of those people. I know there are. I know you're out there. I'm not going to be offended or offensive, I hope. But I just don't understand. People are like, I got to get away. I need to get off the grid for a month. What are you doing? What are you doing that you have to separate yourself completely? You have no compound interest in your life? Oh my goodness, you are killing yourself with productivity effect. There's no way that spending a month outside is going to make you more productive, accessible, and gracious for the other 11 months. It's literally, in my mind, metaphysics, quantum physics, and physics in the quantum conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum. That is absolutely the biggest zeroing effect I believe, in productivity, accessibility, and graciousness that you can have. But that's my own personal belief and my own personal being. I could be full of shit and not know what I don't know, but all I know is it certainly worked for me every single day with consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential. And I think it does say something that I never feel like I got to take off. I don't do anything I don't want to do. I learn to love what I'm doing and I'm loving it. I have more energy, more positive feelings and inspiration and clarity in that connection than most people I know. So I think I am doing things right. But like I said, I could be full of shit and just say, poo-poo, Dave, you don't know what the F you're talking about, which would be fine with me. And probably would be closer to the truth. With all the world of possibilities, can you speak to acting as it's here? Yeah, so for me, I believe everything's already here. And this one, I may be full of shit on, but I believe everything already exists. I believe in abundance. I believe enough of everything for everyone. I believe it's my job to clear the connection between me and all that exists and whatever time frames or illusions or different time zones there are. To me, it's just a matter of access. I'm using my free will just as if I did when I made things happen to clear the connection between or the resistance between me and that which already exists. And it starts with the conscious of what I think, say, and do into the subconscious of what I believe and raising my awareness in the unconscious of the personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, understanding the epigenetic layer of my DNA, my frequency in order to access with less resistance, everything that exists already. I'll actually say it's done, it's done, it's done. If I'm looking to do something, I will already say it's done, it's done, it's done, and keep programming the continuum so that it allows me to have less resistance and belief that I access it. How to figure out which priorities to dedicate time to. That's a daily activity of taking inventory of your values and allotting the time necessary to it. And in the non-negotiable realm of that, for me, it's a minimum of an hour a day of my health. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. My wife gave me that blessing and that great piece of advice. That's why I adore her and don't mind that she calls me every time during training from 11 to 12, especially now that I do Instagram Live and it disrupts that. But moreover, moreover, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Refocus. Do you have any practices to help reduce worries? Yes, the fifth practice of the daily management. Practice not wasting time. Worry is your biggest waste of time. In other words, ego edges goodness out of your life. It edges time out of your life too. You have to identify what you're worried about and then stop worrying. Whatever it takes, you have to be ferocious and stop. And once you stop, breathe, get back to center, get to your higher frequency, which is why meditation in the morning is so important, because it gives you a baseline to go back to and understand where you're at and then roll in the right trajectory. So the biggest practice is to one, identify, two, to drop, three, to two, to stop, three, to drop, and four, to roll in the right trajectory. Remember, when you're worried, your mind, your body, and soul are on fire. Stop, drop, and roll when you're on fire. I'm a new hard money loan broker. What is the best way for me to attract leads? Ask. I mean, talk about a great place to be in a great time. I got six clients for you, brother. David@dmeltzer.com. Give me a call. If you're not asking in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, and social media, do you know anyone that needs my help? I got money. You don't need good credit. Whatever your financial situation is as a hard money loan broker, let me know. I got tons of guys that need money, would love to talk to you. So please, David@dmeltzer.com. If you're not asking, you don't understand the universe. You can't ask enough. You can't ask big enough and you can't ask often enough. You got to ask, ask, ask. Do you know anyone that needs my help? Do you know anyone that could help me? I'm looking for business in the hard money broker lending business. Go ahead, reach out, David@dmeltzer.com. Ask, ask, ask. Check your sent box, everybody. I do it every day to see how often I'm asking. Do you guys know anyone that can help me? I want more people to come to training, more people to watch the replays, to email me, to get free books, exercises, guys, more people to join our groups, more people that can utilize our help. Please, I'm asking, please help me. Please just have them email me, David@dmeltzer.com. Last question. Since we all have 24 hours a day in the man-made constructs, 14 and 40 minutes a day, should we say we manage time or we manage the tasks we allocate against the constant of time? I would prefer that you manage the tasks, for sure. right? That's taking the correct focus to be efficient, effective, and statistically successful at the task, according to the man-made construct, because we already talked about the man-made construct changes in relativity in the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious realm. So absolutely great, Dennis. You want to manage the tasks by being more efficient, effective, and statistically successful using the lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. All right, everybody, that's it. It's noon. I can go call my wife. Remember, if you want the exercises, guides, my books for free, for time management, or any other trainings I've done, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. I have a text community that you all can join. They're going to post it up there, 949-298-2905. Next week's training is Don't Quit Training. Remember, all the replays are available to you on Spotify, featured there with a playlist on Entrepreneur. It's on every platform. Please reach out, david@dmeltzer.com. If you haven't applied to pitch on my new Bloomberg TV show, 2-Minute Drill, david@dmeltzer.com. $50,000 of cash and prizes for each episode. We got 12 episodes airing in January. Please reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com. Most importantly, everyone, that's right, you know it. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you'd like. My only ask is you help me empower others to empower others to be happy.